take these words and speak to us through them, I ask in Jesus' name.
Amen.
As he was nearing the end of his life, W.C. Fields was on his deathbed, and a friend came to visit him. W.C. Fields in his private life was much like he portrayed in his acting life, kind of a scandalous and drunkard sort of a person. And so when his friend came to visit him, he noticed that W.C. Fields was reading the Bible. And he said, well, why are you reading the Bible? Are you looking for answers? And W.C. Fields said, no, I'm looking for loopholes. Well, when we read the words of Jesus, sometimes they're hard to understand and sometimes they're hard to follow. And sometimes we almost want to look for loopholes when it comes to the sayings of Jesus. And that's particularly true perhaps in our gospel lesson today when Jesus said these words, that we are to love each other as he has loved us. Now, if he just left it at you are to love one another, we might be able to find a loophole in that. We might be able to find a way out of that. But when he added that phrase, as I have loved you, he made it crystal clear what he was talking about. There's a songbook that we use on Wednesday night in our healing services, and in that songbook there's a song titled, They'll Know We Are Christians by Our Love. And that's kind of a reflection of what Jesus said in John chapter 13, when Jesus said, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. So God takes love very seriously. He loves us, and he loves us, as our gospel lesson today says, our epistle says, because he loved us first, we love him as a result of that. He loves us and he expects us to love one another. In fact, one of the characteristics of the early church that helped them to stand out, even the critics of Christianity in the early church, noticed that they really loved one another in a way that was not common in that time. We can't make a difference in this world if we don't love others. Love is fuel. Different people get their energy from different sources, and really the same goes for churches. Some are energized by anger, some are energized by ambition, some by greed, some by power, some by glory, and so on. Love energizes the best, however. People in churches that are driven by love have the greatest impact on the world. When a person or a church lives the example of love, the world can't help but notice. For every person who comes to Christ for intellectual reasons, 99 others simply are loved into the kingdom. You've heard the old cliche, people don't care how much you know until you know how much they care. And that's really a true cliche. John tells us exactly what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. The difference you and I make will be determined by how much we love. How much we love is determined by how much we do. Love is something that we do. Our society says that love is more of a feeling. And so it's a mythical sensation that sweeps over you one day and can easily disappear the next. As long as we feel a certain way, we're in love. When the feelings go away, we're not in love. Of course, we can't be expected to act a certain way towards someone when we're not in love, can we? Commitment is required only as long as the feeling remains. That's because love is a feeling, according to the message that we get in society and from the entertainment industry and others. The Bible teaches just the opposite. Love is not a feeling. It's an action. It's something that you do. You can have a loving feeling, but love really is an action. It's something that you actually do. Today is Mother's Day, and I suspect that many of you either purchase something for a mother, or perhaps are going to do something for a mother after you leave today. And that's just a way of showing love to them. So how do we learn to show love for others as Christ loved us? What does that involve? What can we do to be more loving toward others? Well, I want to look at three ways that perhaps we can be loving the way that Christ wants us to love. The first is to open our eyes. To open our eyes. In Acts today, during it says that there was a prophecy about a great famine coming over the land, and that actually happened. And so it says that the church responded to that in a certain way. They had an amazing statement in our lesson from Acts today. It says, the disciples, as each one was able, decided to provide help for the brothers and sisters living in Judea. And this they did, sending their gift to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. This loving action is reminiscent of something we read a couple of weeks ago on Sunday, when we read that if anyone is in material, but has material possessions, and sees his brother in need, but has not pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? An expert in the Jewish law once came to Jesus and said, what must I do to have eternal life? And Jesus asked, what does the law say? And this man said, well, it said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says, you are correct. But then the man, kind of perhaps like W.C. Fields, looking for a loophole, asked Jesus, who is my neighbor? He was hoping maybe Jesus would say, my neighbor is the one who lives next door to me, or my neighbor is someone that is a part of my family, or neighbor is someone that is a friend of mine. But Jesus went on to tell the story of the Good Samaritan. And the moral of that story, of course, is that a neighbor is anyone that has a need that we have an opportunity to help with. Bethany was sitting in the airport terminal getting ready to take off on her flight. She was surrounded by people in the waiting area that were on the plane, going on the plane as well, and she didn't know any of them, but she decided to get her Bible out and start reading. And after a while of reading her Bible, she kind of got the sense that everybody was looking right at her. And so she looked up and she realized that they weren't looking at her. They were looking at over her head at a flight attendant who was pushing the man in a wheelchair to the waiting area. This man she described as one of the ugliest men she'd ever seen before. He had long white hair that was knotted up and tangled, and his face was all wrinkled, and he looked like he wasn't a very friendly person at all. And so when he got into the waiting area there, she couldn't get him off her mind. And she continued to read her Bible, but then she kept thinking about him, and she thought maybe the Lord wanted her to witness to him. So she said, oh Lord, not now, please, come on. And so she continued to sit for a while until it came to her that what the Lord wanted her to do was to brush this man's hair. Well, so she went around and knelt down in front of him, and she said, sir, would you give me the honor of being able to brush your hair for you? And he said, what? And she said, oh great, he can't hear. So she said a little louder, would you give me the honor of brushing your hair for you? And he said, you're going to have to speak up, I'm almost deaf. And so she almost shouted, sir, may I have the honor of brushing your hair for you? And of course, by that time, everybody was looking at her in the waiting area. And he was kind of confused, but he said, well, okay, I guess if you want to. And so she went up to him and she said, you know, I wanted to offer it to you, but I don't have a brush. And he said, well, I have a brush actually in the backpack on the back of my wheelchair. And so she went and got the brush out, and she began to brush his hair. And she had a lot of experience brushing hair because she had a daughter that was constantly having knotted up hair, and so she knew how to do that very gently and to get all the tangles and knots out. And so as she finished brushing his hair, she realized that he was crying. So she went out to the front of him, in front of him, and knelt down again and said, sir, do you know Jesus? And he said, he said to her, yes, of course I know Jesus. You see, my bride told me she wouldn't marry me unless I knew Jesus. So I learned all about Jesus and asked him to come into my heart many years ago before I married my bride. He continued, you know, I am on my way to home to go to see my bride. I've been in the hospital for a long time. I had to have a special surgery in this town far away from home. My bride couldn't come with me because she is so frail herself. He said, I'm so worried about how terrible my hair looked, and I didn't want her to see me looking so awful, but I couldn't brush my own hair all by myself. Tears were rolling down his cheeks as he thanked Bethany for brushing his hair, thanking her over and over again. She was crying. The people around her were crying as well as they started boarding the plane. The flight attendant was also crying. She asked Bethany, "Why did you do that?" And right there was the opportunity that opened the door for Bethany then to share with this flight attendant the love of Jesus Christ. So if we open our eyes to see how God might be at work around us, he might be directing us to share his love with someone, then we're growing in how we can share the love of Christ with others. Secondly, love calls us to open our hands. In our second lesson today, John in his epistle encourages us to love one another, for love comes from God. In the chapter earlier, he said, echoing Jesus' sacrifice, we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Now let's be realistic about it. We're probably not going to be able to die for one another physically. We're not living that adventurous a life. But we will have an opportunity, I believe, to be inconvenienced for one another. And that may be a little worse because we live to tell about that. Certainly, we have an opportunity when we face these inconveniences to ask ourselves, how are we going to handle that? Will you open your hands to do what you can, even when it's not easy? If someone needs a ride to work every day for a week, would you be willing to do that? If someone or next door neighbor needs a lawnmower fixed and you can do that, would you do that? What if a boss asks you to work late? What if someone asks you to help out with a committee? Or what if someone asks you to help out with a project around the church? Well, this is not laying down our life. It surely is something that is an inconvenience for us from time to time. Opening our hands means that you share yourself, your resources, your time, your talent, wherever you have the opportunity. So we open our eyes, we open our hands, and lastly, it's important to open up our hearts. As we do that, then we truly know how to share the love of Jesus with others. Tolstoy, the great Russian writer, was passing on the street one day, a beggar, and the man asked him for some money, and Tolstoy reached into his pockets and realized that he didn't have any money. And he said, "Please don't be angry with me, my brother. I have no money with me. If I did, I would gladly give it to you." The beggar's face lit up and he said, "You have given me more than I asked for. You have called me brother." C.S. Lewis said, "To love at all is to be vulnerable. Love anything and your heart will certainly be wrung and possibly broken. If you want to make sure of keeping your heart intact, you must give your heart to no one, not even to an animal. Wrap it carefully around with hobbies and little luxuries. Avoid all entanglements. It will not be broken. It will become unbreakable, impenetrable, irredeemable. The only place outside of heaven where you can be perfectly safe from all the dangers of love is hell." End quote. We are a family here in this church. We must be willing to open our hearts to one another. But we must also be willing to open our hearts to those outside of our church. You cannot make a difference in this world unless you open your heart. It's risky, but it's worth it. Jesus was willing to love the world, you and me, so much that he was willing to die for us, and that he did, demonstrating his willingness to risk us rejecting him. He died on the cross to show us how much he loved us. He called all those who would accept him, his love and sacrifice and believe in him, his friends. So if you're a believer in Christ today, Jesus calls you his friend. The physical manifestation of that love is seen in the Holy Spirit that God has promised to give to us who believe in Jesus. The Holy Spirit is poured into our hearts, it says, and as the Holy Spirit is poured into our hearts, the love of God is poured into our hearts. So we have a constant reminder that God loves us because of the Holy Spirit living inside of us. I believe God is going to bring to you this week, maybe, or maybe even the weeks to come, people that need a demonstration of his love. You'll have an opportunity to perhaps to practice this idea of loving others with the love of Christ. And you do so as you open your eyes, as you open your hands, and as you open your hearts. to those who need you. Let us pray. Oh, we thank you that you have called us to love one another. You called us to be instruments of your love to those out in the world. And Lord, we do so in order to not only share your love with them, but to let them know how much you love them. Lord, give us opportunities as we are able to show your love in various ways by doing what we can while there's still time. We ask that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit so that the love of God would pour forth from our hearts to those around us. I ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen.